lights out, we're underway. Smoke Sport Republic of Podcast.
James Shaw.
T Shavs. What's going on, bro?
That was a big weekend of motorsport, wasn't it?
But for our listeners, we're running off very little sleep.
Yeah, look, it's once a year, 24-hour Le Mans. It's just one of our, guilty pleasures, I suppose.
Oh, I said to you this morning, when we're cuddling in bed, I was like, T-Shavs, it could go for 48 hours. I enjoy it that much.
Yeah, it's so good. I put it in the same category as probably the Tour de France, where you can just sit back and you know it's on, and you know there's something on, and you just love watching it. So, look, it was. We're going to get on to obviously Formula One in Canada, and we'll talk about that in a sec. But yeah, just on Le Mans, it was. It's just such an amazing historic event, and those cars, that category, the hypercar category is just amazing.
Yeah.
What they've done with the sport is incredible. It was probably a little bit of a boring race, I'm going to say, in the whole, because, I mean, you had 23 or 24 hypercars and really one safety car, which is pretty incredible. But yeah, I mean, congratulations to the Ferrari, the privateer Ferrari, as we were talking about last night. So factory backing, but awesome for Robert Kubica. He's been through hell and back with his injuries and nearly passed away in a rally crash in Andorra in 2011. So incredible for him to come back on the weekend of Canada, where he had his massive shunt in Canada all those years ago, and then had his first win in Formula One in Canada. So it's something about the Canada weekend that just flows with him, I suppose.
Yeah, he's got some Canadian in him or something. Something's looking after him.
Poland and Canada, I didn't see the...
Same colour flags, maybe?
It is. Yeah, you're right.
That's autistic.
Right. But yeah, Poland, Robert Kubica won. I think the Polish team won LMP2.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I don't know, from that wonderful country in Europe that has produced some amazing motorsport stars. So congratulations to them. It was an amazing race and amazing spectacle. I was having nothing but problems with Stan Sport, though.
Oh, really? I didn't have any issue.
Every 25 minutes, crashing.
Really?
And I put it on Foxtel. The apps on Foxtel was crashing as well. Don't know what was going on, but kept me awake. That's all.
Yeah, how fun is it? We'll go into it more later on.
Yeah,
I can talk about it for a while, but
yeah.
Motorheaven.com.au. Get around. That's our best friends down there. You know what it's like. Never pay full price there.
And free shipping over $150, of
course.
Yes,
and it's super, super fast dispatch.
Can we launch the new...
we can't say anything yet.
Oh, can't say anything yet. All right. Sorry, guys. It's such a big... must be fucking huge.
Yeah, it's huge, okay? It's huge.
Must be huge. Guys, we love the all the love we're getting on YouTube. Subscribers, only up to a couple of thousand subscribers. Instagram's popped off, which we really appreciate. And our Patriots... we appreciate your support as well.
Yeah, so. Get around that. Get around our last episode for, I think it was May, whatever last month was, May. All our results for that. Fraud of the month, performance of the month, and a few other things that we like to talk about on there. It's a little bit looser, but we love doing. And we've actually got for our Patreon another special episode Patreon coming up.
Jeez, they're coming quick and fast, aren't they?
I think
that's
next week we're doing.
Yeah,
that.
We're dropping two a month for the next few months, so... get on board while you can. It's still at a very cheap $2.50 price.
Yeah, it's a better value. And we like talking about all that stuff. And we know everyone else likes listening to it. So it's fun. So we're going to do a special episode every month. And then our monthly Republica review.
Review, yes.
You like that?
I love it. All right, F1 Canada. It was bound to happen, wasn't it? These two McLaren boys.
Yeah.
Bound to happen. And it was an interesting occurrence where probably the best thing to happen for McLaren was Lando Norris admitting fault straight away.
Yes.
And then moving on to the next round and sort of in forgetting about it in the media, because if they were both out of the race, or if it was Lando's fault and Oscar was out of the race, it'd be all hell broke loose in the media right now. So for them, it's probably a good thing. For us, it's great because obviously Oscar now moves roughly 25 points
22?
Ahead.
22, is it? 22?
Yeah, 22 points ahead. You're right, James Shaw. Thank you. 22 points. And then Max is only... 21 points behind Lando, and you think the utter domination that McLaren has shown.
Yeah.
It's just not enough points where, you know, it can be clawed back. So this is not the Red Bull of old, the Adrian Newey era, I'm going to say. So are these upgrades coming for Red Bull that are going to work? Who knows? But it keeps it juicy for us, keeps the championship alive.
Keeps Max having a sniff. But going back to your point on McLaren, it was... When it all happened, it was obviously wild, but it was almost a sense of relief of Lando just being like, I know I fucked up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep,
100%. And good on him, because I you know, I've obviously been critical on him at the same time, but good on him for, in the, bro, imagine that. You've just had this crazy accident, adrenaline's rushing through, and then it's so easy to put the blame on someone else, but it's actually kudos to him for admitting fault straight away, because I think that would be a very hard thing to do. When you've got all that adrenaline pumping through you, you know, you've just realized you're DNF'd and your teammates are going to pick up some, a bag of points on you. So I think it's a really mature thing that he's done. That I don't know, maybe I've missed it, but I haven't seen a lot of people talk about it. But I think it's, from maybe a harsher critic of myself, I think it was very mature of him.
Yeah,
he gained some respect points.
Hit the nail on the head there, James. I totally agree. I think it was a very mature thing for him to do it straight away, because
good for the team as well.
Anyone else on that grid, I'm going to say anyone else on that grid would have been like, oh, he didn't leave me enough space. He turned in on me. Yeah. But when your front wing makes collision with the rear back tire, there's no real argument there. And people were comparing it to the incident with Button in 2011 with Hamilton. But that was completely different when Hamilton was pretty much was halfway up the inside and Button closed the door. So, look, racing's racing. At the end of the day, Oscar committed to the inside line. I'm pretty sure that, you know, if Lando picked that outside line, he would have got him. He would have got him the outside, even though if they were side by side through turn one, turn two is an inside. He would have had the inside line. So, just again, Lando, just his racecraft is just the big question. And his qualifying is the other big question.
Well, qualifying is the biggest issue. Lando is actually not bad at charging through a pack if he can, or making some old tyres work. He's actually not bad at that. But that, there's been a few passing incidents where it's either taken him too long or that massive incident there. Like, you're right, he could have gone around the outside and done the business, but
the business. But the thing is, he unexpectedly chucked it at the inside of the hairpin, and then obviously that's where the chain reaction happened. So, good on Lando for giving it a crack, but I think it was a rubbish move from a professional driver.
It was not. Mm. It was never gonna work. Everyone knew it wasn't gonna work. And
I'm gonna say it was actually a bit of a strange reaction though. Like, yes, mature, yes, impressive, but for me, like, geez, it's like, how does he make that split decision already when the heart's pumping? Like, well, you said, the adrenaline pumping. I'm like, anyone on that grid would have been like,
bro, any something. Person ever.
And like, just at least, you know, cracked it on the radio, not said a thing or whatever. But he comes and goes, my fault, my fault, my fault. I'm like, yeah, I don't know. It's hard because like the person on my shoulder, the left, is like, oh, what a little pussy. That's what I write. It's like, oh, very mature. Very nice, Lando. Yeah. So, but you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't
That's a Lando Norris fan right there.
Especially from the Aussies, you know, tall poppy. You know, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. So, from the horse's mouth, as they say. Let me just run through results before we get on too much. So, George Russell, James' other arch nemesis, secures his first victory for the year and his fourth of his career.
Talk about pussies,
mate.
Fourth of his career?
Fourth in his career, yeah. Only four races. So, second place, Max Verstappen. Tried everything, really did. And the strength of the Red Bulls is gone with keeping their tyres, because that's just his Achilles heel.
It was like the first one to go in and box.
Yes, he boxed real early. Kimi Antonelli, congratulations. 18-year-old rookie, first podium. Third youngest driver ever to get a podium, which is awesome for him. And really impressive. Just like, you got to understand that he's a rookie, 18-year-old, first year in F1. Really hard race, you know, two-stop race. Really, the tyres are going off. And that shows true talent. So,
factory team pressure.
Yes. Oscar Piastri fourth, extends his lead in the championship. Charles Leclerc fifth, frustrating day for him. Lewis Hamilton sixth, Fernando Alonso seventh, Hülkenberg eighth, Ocon ninth, and Carlos Sainz.
Would you call it a groundhog day for Lewis Hamilton? I've been holding on that one all day.
Yeah, so if anyone doesn't know, he unfortunately hit a groundhog. Being a vegan, he wasn't very happy about it either.
I saw the comments, it was so funny.
So for him, he lost 10 points of downforce, as they mentioned on the telecast, which is about a quarter of a second. So unlucky, super unlucky. But
that is unlucky.
Yeah, going back to Russell and how Formula One has been this year, 9 out of the last 10 races, the person leading into the first corner has won the race. Mm. So it shows you how important qualifying is. And for him to go on pole, to get a good start. It's a very short run to the first corner at Canada as well. So
he had a great start.
For him, great start. Nailed it straight out front and just controlled the pace. It was a classy drive. What do you think of the race as a whole, though? Had a lot of mixed reviews today.
I thought it was pretty boring up until the incident.
Yep.
It was interesting for the tire aspect because you had a few people on different strategies, like Lando and Charles, I think, started on the hard. And then Charles went onto the hard again. They re-put the hards on and then he was freaking out about that. But the actual strategy I thought was, I guess, maybe an interesting part of it, but it wasn't like an overtaking wet dream. It's just they're too big and too fast for Canada.
Oh, the big problem is as you would say, they just can't follow. They're just getting up to the back of cars and they can't follow. And it doesn't matter how long these straights are sometimes. It's a real struggle. And coming to the end of the life of these regulations, it's apparent that it's just it's the worst it's been in a long, long time. So
true. The only thing, and I had this note down, and I agree. I don't think the racing hasn't been fantastic at all. Maybe we've just been a bit biased. It's been good because Piastri's obviously winning, which that's great for us Aussies. But just stepping back away from that for a second, it hasn't been amazing. There's been some good races in there. But the one, I guess, good aspect out of today was there wasn't a McLaren on the podium. So at least it just changed that up a little bit. You had two Mercedes, a young gun rookie, George Russell with his fourth win.
It's something different.
So it's at least something different.
Yeah. I think as well, personally, not being fully involved in the weekend, it doesn't help because you want to know the ins and outs. If you watch all the practices and you watch all the qualifying sessions, I'm sure the guys in Australia and the girls in Australia watching it versus a European race, totally different. Because on a Friday night, you sit down, you watch practice, you get to know what's happening, you get to know the race pace, you get to know who's fast. But when the practice is on at 2 a.m. and 5 a.m., it's just super hard to get into the weekend. Mm. And I find that I don't enjoy it as much if I don't know enough about it. Like, I remember watching Le Mans, I watched all of free practice on Wednesday, all of qualifying on Thursday, because I'm like, I want to know everything about everything.
Yeah.
I want to know who's quick, who's got the race pace, who's got the tire strategy, who's in what car, because I mean, there's 62 different cars. So for me, it's the thing, it's become a little bit stale with Formula One and the racing I'm talking about. I mean, what's happening next year and the new regulations and stuff is going to be crazy. And we're looking forward to it. That's the big thing. But yeah, it's just got a little bit stale this year. And the only shining light, I think, is obviously that McLaren battle.
Yeah, that's what's keeping this. Like, if this was just a one car domination, then it would be boring.
Yeah.
But that's the thing of, Ferrari. That's the thing of Formula One, though, is it always goes through this.
It's just a sport. So, but yeah, we've got some exciting rounds coming up. Austria shortly, so there's some really cool rounds coming, and I hope that, I don't know, I just hope there's we've got some battles for the lead, because we finally had the two McLarens come together, but they were battling for fourth and fifth. I mean, who would have guessed that?
Yeah, well, and that's a good thing, though. Like, I'll take that. Like, it'd be crazy if it was for the win, but it's just good to see at least. Have Mercedes found something, or is it just what is it?
It always throws up a bit of a strange result, Canada. So Kubica winning all those years ago, Button winning from the back of the grid, again, wet, so it's hard to say. Recent years, it's been some, normal cars winning the race, but just a different track.
Do you reckon street circuits throw up a more, in general, different results?
There's nothing
like Albert Park?
There's nothing like Canada, like realistically. Probably Albert Park and Canada are probably two of the most similar, So, again, and that was a strange result because we had Ferraris and, we had all different brands and manufacturers competing for it. We had McLaren up in the lead, then Verstappen. So there was a bit of toing and froing there. But for me, it was funny, Danica and Patrick coming out and saying it's not a hard track. And then Rosberg going, it's one of the most difficult tracks because you've only got 8 or 9 corners and you have to nail them. That's what makes it hard. There's nowhere to make time up. If you mark one corner up, the collapse gone.
It's funny you say that as a professional PlayStation driver of Formula One. Canada was always one of my favorite tracks because it's very difficult. It was always difficult, but you're right. If you fucked up one of those chicanes, your lap was gone. Exactly right. Yeah. It's a great way of putting it.
And you got to take all the curbs perfectly because that's the other thing. You've got to take a lot of curb in a lot of those corners as well. So
no room for error.
You're still
hitting the wall. So Tommy, anyway, I've been looking at getting a new helmet.
Okay. Right, you are.
A replica helmet.
Okay.
So I'm looking at either like a Marc Marquez, Shoei, Rossi AGV. or controversially like a Nakagami Arai? What do you think?
Well, I think Nakagami Arai might be a bad idea because they'd have to build them strong. You know, repeat hits throughout the whole weekend.
That's right.
Where would you find something like that?
Mate, motoheaven.com.au. They have all the helmet brands that you want. They've got all the racing suits, jackets, big brands, HJC, Shoei, Dainese, Alps. Mate, they have everything. How good's that?
That is so good. And I heard like there's free delivery over $150 as well.
Free delivery over $150. Super, super fast dispatch, which is amazing all around the country. They do an excellent job. You just check out their Google reviews. It's like all 5 stars. It's pretty amazing. They do a great job.
Give the people the website.
Motoheaven.com.au. Check them out. They are the best in the business for all your motorcycle needs. And they've got a parts finder. You can get all the parts you want. Brake discs, chains, sprockets, spark plugs. I know that's all gobbledygook to you, Tom. But that is they are the best in the business. Head down to motoheaven.com.au and they will look after you.
You're still hitting the wall. Yes, correct. Yeah. Back to Kimi Antonelli. Amazing, you know, just an amazing result. I mean, at the start of the end, this was reported today, putting money on Kimi Antonelli to score a podium before Lewis Hamilton and Ferrari.
Oh, yeah.
No one would have thought that. So for me, that's very impressive from him. How he... and what he showed, the maturity in the race, again, super hard race with those wearing tires, different strategies, you know, pressure from behind. It's a really impressive drive, and this kid is going to be a world champion. Like, he really, really is. He's impressed me so much this year. So.
He just seems like he's made for it.
Yeah.
As an 18-year-old.
So calm and collective. And yeah, it's just incredible.
New regs next year.
New regs next year.
In your professional opinion, who do you think's going to nail them?
Someone's
going to.
I think, and I've gone on record here, I think Red Bull are going to struggle with the Ford powertrains. I just don't think they're going to have the history of the R&D. And this is not coming from any place of knowledge, as in from my point of view. This is coming from just a...
Observer
thinking, how are they going to nail the regs straight away, being a new power supply to Formula 1 when they have never made a powertrain for Formula 1. I mean, then obviously they're a little less complicated, but these brands like Mercedes and Ferrari, I mean, they're doing it for so long. I mean, you looked at Ferrari, they've nailed the WEC regs. Nailed it. They've won three. They came in 3 years ago and won 3 Le Mans in a row.
Isn't that wild?
Like, just incredible. Now, that's a whole different aspect because they've got balance of performance. There's all these little things that go with that. But for me, I see Mercedes going really well. I see, obviously, Aston Martin going very well with that engine as well. So that's the top two for me is Mercedes and Aston Martin.
Where did Alonso finish this weekend?
7th. He had a really good race.
Didn't he? Yeah. And he was 6th for a lot of it and basically just let one of the Ferraris through, or Lando. I think it was Lando through.
Lando through, and then obviously Lando didn't finish. So then he finished on his grid spot. So, the top seven...
Found something, Aston Martin.
The top seven pretty much finished where they started. Thinking about that, yeah.
Just about, yeah. What happened to... Oh, you might not have seen it, obviously, because Le Mans was on, but do you know what happened to Norris qualifying?
Nah, for me, it was just lack of pace, realistically. And, I mean, it showed that McLaren were 4th and 8th, and yeah, they just didn't have the pace. And there's a bit of reports coming out today that did this front wing make a difference? Because we talked about in Barcelona where it didn't seem to make any difference, but maybe we have to give it 2, 3, 4 races to go, well, actually they have lost their, you know, quarter of a second, half a second, however long it is. So were they so dominant in Barcelona because it's such a chassis circuit that it showed more on a circuit like
maybe. They seem like they were coming, like the race was coming to them at the end until they had that incident.
Yeah, look, if the incident didn't happen, you'd probably think they could have got up to the back of Max, both of them.
Yeah.
So it could have been a different kettle of fish. And as Martin said on telecast, he goes, they had a briefing in the morning and they're pretty much told that everyone, that it's going to be a McLaren 1-2. So they had so much race pace and they just mucked qualifying up. Mm. So, bro, it's so close. Like, that's the thing. They're so close, these cars. Like, the top seven might be a quarter of a second or something. I mean, you muck up, or you don't have the right suspension on the front left corner over a bump, and you lose a quarter of a second. You're 8th, you know. Like, it's just such fine margins. So, and we're going to see that all year now.
Which is a really good thing, and that's what we need, because it is so close, but the only issue is, as we're talking about, they can't follow each other. So then the racing isn't...
Exactly right.
You know, it's just a race. It's literally just a race to turn one, and who can get the best start.
Well, that's what I said about 9 out of the 10 races this year. Yeah. And you wouldn't have thought that. That's surprising for me, reading it today. Because, yes, there's probably been... I'm not saying pole positions 1 9 of the last 10. I mean, they're obviously off the line, but that just shows the racing has been lackluster up front.
Yeah, and like you look at Piastri's noteworthy. Like, he's been realistically, for so many races, really good off the start.
Yeah.
You know, when he's either taken first or he's stayed on pole and just fended off.
They're all bloody Lando. Good off the start, because I remember back 10, 15 years ago watching F1. Like, there wouldn't have been that surprising first going down to fifth, like just bogging the start down, or... you know, eighth going to the back of it. Like, it doesn't happen now. Like, they just don't bog the start, or they don't muck the start up. And there's so many different... I believe they've got two clutches. They've got to put the right rev point, and they've got to drop one of the clutches to go. Like, it's very confusing. But I think...
I think
drivers are... I'm going to say, I don't know, they probably practice these things more now because of all this simulated technology where back in Schumacher's era, definitely not Senna's era, it may have been you had to only, you know, trial this on track. So that could be another aspect of it.
Yeah, it's a good point. Remember Richard Hammond he drove Fernando Alonso's Renault and he couldn't even get it out. Like, he couldn't even get out of neutral or out of first gear.
Yeah, because you have to have a little revs in and blip the revs. And it's so much more complicated than you. Like, I always think of this, like, I'm watching Le Mans and like the GT3 cars look so slow.
Yeah, don't they?
And then you jump on board and you're like, oh my God, these things are so fast. Then you see the hypercar flying past. You're like, you don't fathom how fast.
Yeah.
Like, Formula One's faster than the hypercars.
So much faster.
Yeah, like, it's just, it is unbelievable what they can do. And like, you have to go to the event to realize how amazing it is.
A good representation of that is, obviously for us Aussies, is the end of the back straight, that chicane. The left and right. Because you see, it looks like it's in fast forward.
It does.
How quick they are.
That there's a camera from the outside of the track.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And like, they just look...
It doesn't
like,
look real.
It looks like Hot Wheels.
Yeah, it doesn't look real.
Like, and there's a human body in that going through that force, you know?
And your mind has to process that. Like, that takes your whole life of go-karting and Formula 3, Formula 2 and everything just to be able to process that. Because we couldn't just jump in that car and... No. No way anyone could do that. Your mind couldn't process it. No,
and the hardest thing about that, and I think Richard Hammond touched on that, is the braking.
Yeah.
The braking force is so much on the body that you're like shocked. It shocks you. And you got to press the brake pedal so hard for it to activate.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just...
And they all work their necks. They need like Brock Lesnar necks in there.
Yeah, they do.
Not weak necks.
The F9? Was that his finishing move? The F9?
F5.
F5. The F5. One big fuck up that wasn't really shown too much on the TV, and I couldn't believe this. They pit Piastri with 3 laps to go to put the softs on, almost putting him out an unsafe release into the lap.
Yes,
cars.
They did. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, that would have been a 5-second penalty. Would have put him near the back of the grid if they.
True.
He was smart enough to go, oh my God, they're there, and go left. If the lollipop should never have come up. It's so much time behind them. Why are you rushing that?
Yeah, that's dumb.
Dumb. That's so dumb. Like,
that's getting flustered in the situation.
Flustered and for no need. Like, no need.
Because they had the free pit stop.
Heaps of time. And you put them out in two lap cars that are coming through the pit lane. That's just... I mean, that could have been disaster. Because a 5-second penalty under a safety car is like the back of the grid.
Yeah, definitely.
Or the second half of the grid at least. Out of the points at least. So, dumb. Very, very dumb.
Finishing a race under a safety car sucks.
Sucks,
balls,
I know.
Man.
I know. But what do you do? Like,
I know.
They've only got enough fuel for the race. So, you know, they can't just... Do you red flag it, but then what happens when you
get some jerry cans out, fill it back up?
Maybe, but yeah, you're right. Like, it does suck.
So anticlimactic.
You're used to that.
They are. Not me, mate. I'm having a good time no matter what.
I actually think when they went at level 2 soft for the tires for the race, I just think no one used the soft.
Yeah.
So it just means they're too soft. And I think they would have thrown, if they were back to where they were last year, where the medium was the hard, and then they had their hard, hard tire. Yeah, someone could have gone for the one stop. It actually probably would have been a more interesting race to me, because I could have pushed the tires harder.
But so, we always talk about two-stop races.
It's 100%.
And that...
Yeah.
I guess they all finished pretty before the safety car. They were all closing in on each other. You said the top five were within 5-6 seconds of each other.
Well, they're all within a second of each other pretty much.
Yeah, you're right. No one can pass. But the two-stop, I don't know, maybe it just didn't work for that race. It did and it didn't. I don't know. It was a weird race, man.
It's just such a weird race.
It's just strange. It's like a lot of things happened, but not at the same time.
It had the recipe to be like a classic.
Yeah.
But no one could pass.
Well, and that's to do with the cars and the track. They're just too big for that track.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they're too big for the track. I think the track's okay. It's just, I don't know if they just need to be able to keep closer into that hairpin, and then it would have been fine. Maybe extend the DRS section. To come on earlier. But the other thing is that chicane isn't that exciting of a passing. You can't really chuck it up the inside of the chicane.
The last one.
Yeah, the last chicane, because like it's just too risky to go over and then obviously got the wall of champions on the outside. So
even a couple of those chicanes are pretty hairy to pass someone though.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Who was it? Was it Gasly that went motocrossing again across?
Albon.
That's right, it was too.
He had another shocker.
And he was cracking every week.
Every week.
What's going on with Albon? He's put something in his papaya salad.
But he's as British as bloody. He's as British.
He ain't Bangalore.
He ain't Thai. He must be getting Thai government money or something.
Yeah, long live the king, bro.
Yeah, I think we can't say too much on the pod, but yeah, I think that might be the case. So,
can't say too much on the pod.
But yeah, constructors' championship for me is sewn up. 374 points to 199. But Mercedes have surpassed Ferrari for the first time since, I think, actually the last round. So that's they've gone back to second. Oscar Piastri, as you touched on, 22 points ahead. And then Lando is 21 points in front of Max. So look, it's all still to play for. And I mean, it's such a long season to go. So we're not even halfway yet. Mm. So again, I hate talking about the championship, as you know. But that's
nah, I like it. I like it.
I just don't like when they have like live championship up on the seventh round. Nah. I hate that. It's ridiculous.
They do it MotoGP.
MotoGP a lot. It's annoying. I hate that. That's like a triggered Tom. They call that
PTSD.
I think so. PTSD.
What gave you PTSD on that? Lewis Hamilton winning six titles in a row.
Well, Lewis Hamilton lost both of his Abu Dhabi battles, 2016 to Rosberg, and then 2021 to Maxi. But best day of my life.
Yeah.
But yeah. Any more for F1 there, Jimmy boy?
Nah, that's all I got. It's not a massive segment on it today, just because, you know, I guess the biggest... Lucky we had the McLaren thing to talk about, otherwise we would have been stuffed.
Well, I want to talk about men love lists, and women love lists.
Mate, well, you've been talking about this.
We've got... This is called Listy's List. Sponsored by Listy, Ryan List at Motor Heaven.
He's going to love this.
He's a good Listy. He's a good bloke.
Oh, we love all the Motor Heaven boys.
Yeah, they're best. So this is in honor of Listy, because we love lists. I want the fans at home and the viewers of Formula One and the knowledge of 20 to 30 years of history for me, because I don't know about the 60s or the 70s. So don't talk to me about races back then. But I want to know the best F1 races of all time.
This is your personal opinion?
This is my personal opinion.
We like this.
So, there's lots of classics, and for different reasons. 2021, yes, was an amazing race for me personally, because Max, it would have been awesome. It's awesome for him to win the championship, but it wasn't a classic race.
Well, it's not on your list.
Not on my list.
Wow.
Number one is Brazil 2008.
That's the best one.
So, that was an amazing, amazing race. So, that is obviously Felipe Massa and Hamilton going into the last round. The last corner of the last lap of the last round of the season. And poor Massa. I mean, I just remember his dad in that pit and him, the joy of his son crossing the line thinking he won the world championship. And then, you know, Hamilton passing Tim O'Glock to secure the title. Devastating moment in the time, but an amazing race in history.
Looking back at it.
I still think those Toyotas were paid off or something. It had to be something going on there.
I like it. Is this the one where Felipe Massa tried to sue F1 or something?
Current investigation, James. So everything you have to say is allegedly, okay?
So allegedly Felipe Massa is suing Formula One still.
Well, what happened?
Big dog Bernie Eccleston's emptying his pockets.
So that's actually involving Crashgate in 2008, where Flavio Briatore...
And he's back.
...personally told Nelson Piquet Jr. to crash and then obviously Alonso winning the race. What happened was when that safety car came out, Felipe Massa came into the pits, refueled, and they couldn't get the refueling out, and he left, and he retired from the race.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's suing F1 that they should have like just declassified that race. And if they did, then Massa will win the championship.
Flavio Briatore is like a heel Triple H, like coming back in with a sledgehammer and just taking names. That's what he is.
Yeah, he's a good one. So Listy's personal favorite, Canada 2011.
He's number two.
We touched on that because obviously this is an amazing race in history because first of all, it was, I think, the longest race. It was a 4-hour race.
That's wild.
Six different pit stops, drive through penalties, and then, I mean, Jenson Button coming from last to first. Obviously, had a collision with his teammate that year. Hamilton, we touched on that earlier. Got a drive-through penalty. Passed Vettel on the final lap.
Wow. Who was like the man, wasn't he?
That was the most amazing race. I remember I had to... I think I was working at McDonald's at the time or something, and I had to go to work. And I'm like, nah, I'm not missing this. Like, it was red flag. They were restarting the race. Caught it sick. I remember it was like Labor Day or something in Australia. Like it was a public holiday, I remember.
First time and only time ever called in sick.
Yeah, I'm not a big calling in sick person. You know that. That's number two. Number three, Brazil 2012.
Another Brazil.
This is another funny moment in history.
Another
heartbreak for Tom. I'm at schoolies in the Gold Coast. Okay. Schoolies.
OGs will know this one.
So I'm out. I'm partying, a few beers. Oh, they were probably like ciders back then because beer was a bit too yucky. But now it's like, you know, in my veins. And I'm walking home. I'm like, I've got to get home to watch the race. The race is on like 3 a.m. Walking home. And I'm like, start jogging because like I got to get back to the thing.
Surely not.
Cop chasing after me. Grabs my hands behind my back like this, James.
Like Kurt Laxell.
And he's like, you've been punched on with people. We've caught you. I'm like, no, what are you talking about? We're back to the F1 race. Trying to get back to the F1 race. What are you doing? And the other cop comes past. He goes, nah, the guy's supposed to be married. It's not him.
He's on the pokies.
So I'm like, what the fuck? I'm fucking 18. I'm like, never been away. I'm 17 at this stage.
Yeah.
Never even traveled by myself anyway. I'm getting handcuffed anyway. Get up to the room, get it going. It's on Channel 10, Daryl Beattie, back in the day. Greg Rusty, they were presenting.
They were doing the commentary.
No, they were doing like the pre-race show.
Gotcha,
I remember getting up there and they had it all going. Yeah, so, yeah. Again, you know, crashes, rain, safety cars, Vettel spins in the first lap. Mm. And I'm thinking, oh, come on, here we go. Being a massive Alonso fan back then, and then he came back and just an emotional roller coaster.
One of his best races of all time. Well,
he had damage, and you know, it was almost like, and it happens in Brazil a lot. It almost just these true stars come out, and you looked at Hamilton back in 21, Verstappen a couple of times throughout history, and then that drive was just incredible. So
I feel like not to take away from your list for a second, but does Vettel not talked about enough?
Jeez, that's a really good point.
Is he underappreciated? Because I reckon in history, he's underappreciated.
I just think...
Bro, he was a monster.
Yeah, no, he was. I definitely was. I just think that... I think people know that Red Bull had such an advantage over everything else for those 4 years. But for me, he came in, you know, Toro Rosso, 2008, wins in Monza in the rain. Like, you would never see that now.
Yeah.
So, it's a good point. Maybe another topic for another day.
Yeah.
Number four, this is a personal favorite of mine and like, you know, a great childhood memory. Again, being 17 at the time. Fernando Alonso winning the European Grand Prix back then, Valencia. Emotional win, crying, tearing up, his home race, stops, grabs a Spanish flag.
Love that.
And what a lot of people don't remember about that race is Schumacher was on the podium. Alonso won. Kimi Raikkonen was on the podium. So it was a dream podium for the T-Shav. And Vettel retired. So I remember saying to Dad, I'm like, Dad, this was the best race you could possibly imagine. It was just unbelievable.
And doesn't happen for you often because you always go for an underdog. It's normally struggling.
And then number five, I mean, there's just an array of different options, obviously.
Yeah, this is T-Shav's best F1 races of all time. No wrong answers.
Well, look, I'm gonna throw out the rule book. I'm gonna say 2021.
Boom, baby,
I cock teased you at the start there.
Yeah, nah, that's called a CT.
Look, race goes, obviously didn't kick off until the last 10 laps. Being a massive Verstappen supporter back then, before that was pre-pod. pre-pod, so, you know, we could have favourites back then. Now we've got to be neutral, which I understand.
Yeah, well and truly.
But yeah, an amazing race, amazing aftermark, driving home at like 4 a.m, tooting the horn, waking up all the neighbours. It was a very good time, so.
Kicked off Formula One into stratosphere.
Good luck cutting that one.
Yeah, you started from number one first as well. Appreciate that. That's really good. That's real good. That leaves them in suspense, starting at number one. Got a bit excited. That's all right. Yeah, you get a bit excited. Yeah. 2 minutes in, it's all good.
Hey, it's not normally longer than 2 minutes. So, yeah.
2 minutes in tears, they call that.
2 minutes in tears. Well, tears for some.
No, I like that. And that race, it kicked it all off for F1.
It did. Yeah. Yeah, it did. It was like dropping a nuclear bomb on Nagasaki, that was.
We'll save that for the Patreon. You know what's interesting about that race? We're doing the pod with the boys, and they all resonated with that race. Even though they weren't really F1 fans, it's the bros. And they're like, we stayed up for that one. Yeah, we watched that one. Isn't that interesting? It was just that race. It was just a milestone in history.
It was that year. It was the most amazing thing. I mean, you had Daniel Rim next door. He hasn't watched F1. He was watching every race. He was watching every race that year. Probably hasn't watched one since. But everyone was talking about it. Drive to Survive was killing it. It was an amazing year. We're coming out of COVID as well.
We were still
stuck at home 2021 as well.
Yeah, we got remember the that. Raw end of the stick.
But you're right about that. Everyone, there's a lot of people who watched that race. And it was a 12 a.m. race. You got to remember Abu Dhabi back then as well. So
for us Aussies.
That's it. All right, let's jump on Le Mans quickly. Again, we touched on it earlier today. Congratulations on Robert Kubica. You know, having that big crash and first win and Le Mans all on the Canada race day. Incredible. And for a privateer Ferrari team, I mean, I looked at that and I'm thinking, Ferrari, obviously, it's all one big team, of course. So they run the team. But I think they would have ideally for their, you know, for their brand, they would rather a red car win. So, but yeah.
Definitely.
Incredible event, as I touched on earlier in the pod. They've just nailed that. And the thing is, next year you have Genesis, which is Hyundai coming to hypercar. You're going to have Ford in high. Like, it's like every manufacturer is going to go, oh my God, this is working for so many brands. And everyone's going in there. We want a piece of the action.
Yeah.
So
that Valkyrie looked beautiful.
And sounded even better. Oh, it sounded like a V8 F1 car.
Yeah, didn't it? How good was it?
Well,
so
what's
the limitation? So it's a new brand, but there's a limitation to performance limitations. Is this something like that? Do you know a bit about that?
Yeah, so what happened was they build these hypercars at the start of the year, and then what I believe they do is test them. And then what happens is they put balance of performance on each car. It's called BOP. So that's why they're all very similar. Like if you just unrestricted them, it'd be all over the place. Because the hypercar category, you don't have to be hybrid because Valkyrie is not hybrid. That's why it sounds so amazing. Where pretty much all the other brands are hybrid. So for me as well, what they were saying on the telecast is the Valkyrie is new this year. They don't know how well it's going to perform. So they put the harshest BOP on it.
What's that mean? Does it restrict the ECU in it? Like, just, I don't know
top
what that
speed,
means.
Top speed, torque, that sort of thing.
Yeah. So do they have like a controlled, I don't know if it's, I don't know what I'm talking about, but is it like a controlled ECU, like something in the computer where they've got, you know, like MotoGP, they had controlled ECUs.
Yeah, not necessarily. It's more the fact that they would test all the cars on like a testing day.
Okay.
And then they would apply a BOP to a car that's outperforming. Yeah. So if they can see the throttles on 100% and they're producing X amount of horsepower, they'll just dial down the horsepower.
Yeah, right.
So, interesting. And they pretty much the whole year, they dial down the horsepower. Like I think they've put limitations on a lot of aero bits as well. But for Le Mans, it's pretty much just straight line speed.
Yeah.
Because that's where the lap time is, straight line speed. Yeah. So every other race, it's all about aero, except Le Mans.
Yeah, like you go to, do they do it? I think they do a race in Spa, don't they?
Oh, Spa, yeah, Spa, 8 hour. There was a few, Imola, Qatar. They don't do Nürburgring.
Maybe they used to.
There's a Nürburgring 24 hour, but the hypercars aren't in it.
Yeah, I think it's just like GT cars.
And next year, they have an Asian Le Mans series, and they're going to have hypercars in the Asian Le Mans series. That. So that would be cool if that was like close by. That'd be a cool event to go to.
Yeah, that would be cool. It was just a great event. And bro, I just couldn't believe how packed it was just for qualifying. Yeah. It was a stanza full. That massive hill is beautiful watching those cars go through. And then obviously for the whole weekend, it was packed. But it's so cool seeing the cars at the end of the 24 hours. It's like they've gone into battles. Rubble all over them, mud, dirt. Like it's just such a cool... It's just probably... the coolest event out there in motorsport, I reckon, is Le Mans 24.
And then, like, you look at the start of the race. I mean, Roger Federer is there with with
Valentino.
Valentino Rossi. I mean, just the two of the biggest names in world sport just colliding.
What are they doing there?
Just colliding. I mean, it was just awesome to see. And the cars look so good.
The cars, probably, I think that Ferrari is, the yellow Ferrari for me, is the best looking race car out right now.
Yeah, so, and the front end. And
one of the best ever.
The great thing about hypercar is their cars are all based off road cars.
Like the BMW, that front grille, looks like a BMW.
Looks like a BMW. So that's what is so good about, because the LMP1 class was just, they were just race cars.
Yeah.
Where the Valkyrie is, I'm not sure it is a road going legal car, but you can buy one.
Yeah.
The BMW, like that, the Porsche, they've made one of them, and that's called the Porsche 963 RPS. RPS? RSP.
Okay.
And they built one, and it's for Penske.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so he's got it. He drives it. He's like, he was driving it. And it's all silver. It's like silver, silver.
Sick.
And just looks incredible. So, yeah, they're based on real cars that can be on the road.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the production cars where you can buy them, but they're real cars that exist. So, yeah. Which I think it can relate to a certain extent to the public. And that's why everyone wants into that category, because it's a brand growing exercise. Because they're like, oh my God, I love the design of that. You know, the Peugeot, for instance, the Peugeot front and rear grille, they're actually similar to a road car. You can say that's a Peugeot, that's a BMW, that's a Ferrari. That's the thing. So
yeah, so exactly. Took the words out of my mouth. It's so much more relatable.
Yeah.
And that's what it's great to see. And even just watching the GT cars go around, obviously spewing for Valentino to have a mechanical and a crash. But
yeah, it seemed like a broken something and then just sailed into the sand trap, unfortunately. And that was it. That was all over Red Rover. So he was leading as well. The car looked really good.
It's
great.
And like just the wheel of obviously the drivers and the team, but just mechanically, I always get astounded at how they can go for 24 hours. Yeah. And like I was watching it and it was like 4 a.m. and it might have been one of the Porsches going around, and he was like, even the commentator was like, oh, he's like putting in qualifying laps.
Yeah.
Like just going so hard.
Yeah, I know.
You know, so how are those engines obviously like just. And the gearboxes and everything
stays
for 24 hours.
I mean, that's where the event started to show that my product can last this long. That was the whole idea of an endurance race back in the day. So, yeah, I mean, it's just I think of it like appliances at home. Could I really put my washing machine on for 24 hours? I don't think it would last. I don't think I could put my dishwasher on for 24 hours. I just think it would blow. I just got a new dishwasher, by the way. I still don't think, and it's Bosch, German engineering. I still don't think it would last, but yeah, it's...
Well, you wouldn't want an Italian one. I'll give you the tip.
Nah, not a fix it again, Tony. That's for sure. That's for sure. Yeah, but you're right. It's just and they're going like, and it's funny, like you don't realize how fast they're going until they actually come off, because you're going around the outside of an LMP3 car, and then you sort of lose just a little bit of traction, and you're sailing into the like, oh my God, they're going so fast, you know. So
fast.
We have to go one day. It's definitely you got to go for a week, I reckon. A
bucket list.
You get there on like a Monday or a Tuesday, and your qualifying's on Wednesday. So they practice and qualifying on Wednesday, practice and qualifying on Thursday. Friday's a break. Like just a fan day, and then they race starts on 4 p.m., which I think is probably a bit late. I don't know why they would do it at 4 p.m. on a Saturday. Why wouldn't you do it like a 2 p.m. race?
Maybe for the finish.
Yeah, it's just a long time to wait around. Because they say those mechanics get up at like normal time, 7 a.m.
Yeah, fuck.
And they can't sleep.
So if we're there, just say on this, just what would we do? How would our sleep schedule be if we went there on
this
Saturday?
I was thinking about
this. So at Saturday morning, we wake up at, let's say, 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Let's say 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
When do we sleep?
Well, I think what you have to do is you got to run till like, I think you got to run till like 2 a.m., 3 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah.
And then you get 4 hours, then you wake up when the sun's up. I think that's the only way to do it, realistically.
What about some Ritalin? Get you going?
Well, probably.
I think you sleep, but you're still wired.
Those guys on the pit wall don't sleep. They don't sleep. They're on the whole time. It's crazy. There must be some sort of substance that they have. I'm not saying illegal, but I'm not saying caffeine, but there's got to be something that they're having. Because you can't physically do it, James. I'm at 1:30. I'm sitting there at 1:30 and I cannot physically keep my eyes open.
Yeah, that was like, yeah.
And what happens in the middle of the night, 3 a.m., everyone in the crowd's going to sleep because there's still a few fucking people, but you can see there's less people in the crowd.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there on the pit wall like, oh my God, you'd fall asleep.
And the noise would make you fall asleep after a while.
How funny was it though? It was like 1 a.m. or something, and then the whole sea of fireworks just went off. And everyone's just like, for fuck's... The commentator come back, he's like, I finished my like 4-hour stint. I went to my motorhome, like my eyes just shut, and then boom, boom, boom. I went for like half an hour.
That's so ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
That's like torture.
Oh, I couldn't believe it. I just thought it was so funny.
3-4 hours sleep, yeah, right. I guess you'll just pass out eventually because you'd just be partying the whole night.
Yeah.
Trying to take it all in.
Yeah.
But you'd wake up on that Sunday so rough.
Well, like,
but dude, that's just gonna be a part
I'm
of it.
I'm even rough now. Yeah, like, yeah. I'm rough now. That's the thing. Like,
and you're out in the elements.
Oh, I
but
know.
You just gotta embrace it. Like, it's funny. That's part of the fun.
I get up Sunday morning and I'm watching. And I'm like, oh, would I really want to do this? Because I'm like, you'd just be so tired,
thing. And you're not even racing. You're just drinking. Imagine racing.
I know.
I woke up at like 7:30 on Sunday morning. I put my phone on, started watching. It was the first thing I did. I watched it for about 15 minutes. I was like, I fell back asleep again. I'd be fucking used to endurance
driver. I know. But imagine like you do a massive stint. Like Kubica, I think, did a 4-hour stint pretty much to finish the race. And he looked unbelievably stuffed.
Bro, his eyes, yeah. I reckon, were getting wider and wider. Yeah. He looked cooked.
And he was the fastest driver. They just had to keep him in. So... And then imagine you do that, you come in and you go, oh, you wired as you finally get to sleep, and then someone goes like this, woke up, he goes, oh, the car's crashed.
Yeah.
You know, you did some fucking stupid move and crashed the car. You just, the emotion would just come out, and you see that with the mechanics. Everyone's crying because they're all sleep deprived and putting so much into it. They've been there for 2 weeks, a lot of them as well, because they had testing days, and then like it'd just be emotional roller coaster. And like, and then you feel so shit, and then it'd be a week later, you'd be like, I can't wait till next year.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just the lure of Le Mans.
Yeah.
And what about the times where people are like in the lead and have a mechanical like on the last lap or the last 10 minutes?
Well, that's what happens in LMP2. Yeah. I mean, that LMP2 race was you got a drive-through penalty for speeding when you're miles ahead and then you come back out and you're behind by like a minute and then the car in front, I think, runs wider than gets a mechanical. And then like that's 16 minutes to go from 24 hours and that all happens in the last 16 minutes.
It's amazing.
Toyota famously a few years ago, they honked out on the last lap leading the race. Ant Davidson and Kamui Kobayashi, I think it was. So, yeah, it's just not over until it's over. And
Even like it's a race where obviously you're not going to have something going on for 24 hours, but it's so perfect because it's always on in the background. Like I'm like you, I love having it on in the background and just watching it when you watch it.
Yeah.
And there's always something to talk about. And the most underrated thing out of all this is the commentary. The commentary
is amazing.
Is
Graham and Paul and
Jono, John amazing.
And
Ant.
Yeah.
But they just so do good. Such a great job all through the day,
they do
all
an amazing
through the
job.
Night. Because, and that's really, if that's shit commentary, it's like a Tour de France. We always go back to the Tour de France, but it's the commentary makes that.
Makes it, yeah.
And they always like either funny or just put interesting bits in or talk about the history or just... You're always looking for like little tidbits and they've always got something.
Well, it was a funny one this morning. It was like someone hit a rabbit and they said, oh, a Jew, a rabbi.
Go on. You didn't give me this joke either. Go on, tell
me.
No,
I haven't. I can't remember it. But it was funny because he turned rabbit into rabbi and they got it mixed up. And it was like, they're like, all right, well, carry on then. And I was like, just perfect timing. And what, you're right. How they do it, that voice, you know, just that distinct voice.
Yeah.
I think his name's Graham. I don't know his last name, but he's just awesome. So, and we've been listening to him for, you know, 10, 15 years.
A long time. But he obviously knows his stuff. He loves it. Like, you can hear the passion when he talks, but that's just what you need. For those events, that is so crucial. You can get away with shit commentary for a 45-minute MotoGP race if you really have to.
Yeah.
But a 24-hour race where you want to know everything, you want to hear all the intricate details, talking about the track or the history or some dumb jokes. Like the French commentators, remember they started singing at 3 a.m. Like, how good's that?
Yeah, I think of that sort of event because a lot of people just watch that event. So you need to be like someone to really explain what's going on. Yeah. And they do a really good job.
Well, I'm one of those people. I don't watch every endurance race.
No.
Le Mans is the one. What made you get into that? You got into it and then got me into it.
Don't know. It's a weird one. It's
You got into it when... I remember watching it with you when it was Audi versus like Peugeot. And that was it.
I remember the Peugeot had like...
And that was never going to win. And I it was funny. That was never
we hated Peugeot for some reason and loved Audi. And the Peugeot had this like cockpit design where they had like it was they were out in the elements and the Audi had that. That was classic days for me though.
Yeah.
I don't think anything will compare to those days.
Yeah, nostalgic.
The hatred between them and then the, like the McNish.
McNish. Yeah, yeah, that's right. I haven't heard that name.
Rockefeller. You had, you know, Andre Lotterer, like these classic names that, you
know. But that racing was like obscure. Like it was weird.
It was weird. And it wasn't like, I'm telling you, there was four cars and they were fighting and like they could have been four laps different or something. And we're like, this is the most amazing thing because it was so raw to us.
Yeah. And it was and
now,
24 hours.
And now three cars finished within 16 seconds. And they're like, better back then. It's crazy.
Bro, there was four cars.
Yeah.
Two manufacturers in the hypercar or LMP1 or whatever it was.
Well, one
then.
Stage in WEC, there was Toyota. That was it. That was
doldrums.
It. I know.
What's that? When do you reckon that was? 2017?
Yeah, 2016. 16? Yeah, 2016, 17. And then Porsche came in.
Ferrari's
come in recently, so...
And then obviously it's all change of like Formula One kicking off. It's just wild. That is talk about the involvement of a sport and a motorsport. That's incredible.
I'm telling you, that will be super popular over the next 10 years. I think it's going to grow to a massive sport,
especially when you get all these Formula One drivers that are popular now going into it.
We got to remember, like Michael Schumacher came from that. He started in sports cars. Mark Webber came from sports cars. Like not a lot of people, they think they went their traditional path of going up through GP3 and GP2, but these guys started with sports cars. So it's always been a massive thing with the FIA involvement in it and everything. But nowadays, it's just, some people might choose sport, you know, that sort of racing over F1 because there is 63 cars and 185 drivers, whatever it is. Well, you got 20 F1 drivers.
I really like watching even the GT cars.
Yeah, love watching the GT. Some of the battles is awesome. LMP2 is good. They got a new car coming in the next couple of years as well. So it's all happening here at the G, mate.
Yeah, yeah. And just endurance, driver changes, refueling. It's good. It's a bit more old school. Maybe it's old school.
Yeah.
We like old school around here.
Yeah. All right.
Jello, brother.
Bro, Jello.
Bro, MotoGP, we're back.
Is it going to be a Bagnaia hunting ground?
I don't know, man. Mugello's what? He's won his past three, was it?
Yes.
Past three. This is, I know, we keep talking about ultimate tests for Pecco Bagnaia, but is this the ultimate test? Has he found something? There's going to be questions that are going to be answered on Sunday night.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I think a lot of questions will be answered. You're right. And I think it's exciting for us. I just hope that the championship just doesn't finish too early for us as well because we want to see a championship battle for the bowl in Malaysia. So for me, going forward to the next few races, I really hope to see a Bagnaia up there.
Yeah, and look, I'm going to put him down for the win. I think I just got this weird feeling that he's going to win. It's his track. If he's going to pull anything out this year, it's going to be Mugello. It's always just going to be Mugello.
Is he going to go average in the sprint and then win the race?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he can't. I think you got to rule him out for the sprint. I think that's probably just a Marquez, whoever Marquez territory.
I don't see Bagnaia ever winning a world championship again because of the sprint.
It's a good call.
Well, ever since the sprints come in.
He's cooked. Yeah.
And it happened last year with Martin, it's happening this year with everyone else.
He hasn't really, obviously, he hasn't worked out that bike for the sprint. It's got a different fuel tank. We know about that. They've tested some new aero in Aragon, which is interesting, but I don't know how much. They can't use it for Mugello anyway. Yeah. They're still got to homologate.
He's the same rider, arguably, as Rossi, just not a massive qualifier, one lap pace. It's all about that long game in the race. And
he's amazing. The race comes to him.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's going to happen at Mugello. Like, I can see a Marquez crashing Mugello. Mugello's is not his circuit. But if Marc Marquez goes out and wins, then I don't know.
GG.
Yeah, thanks
GG.
For coming.
It's like under 9:40, we had to say good game to everyone. Yeah. That was it. That'll be it. That's it. Yeah. Gone. Finished. Yeah.
And it already is, let's be honest.
It is. And the only one who can stop him is his brother. And who would have thought of that? But yeah, for me, this is the biggest race of the year. Biggest race of the year we've had so far.
It always produces good racing.
Always produces.
And so it's always going to be a battle. He's going to have to get his elbows out.
Moto3 is going to be awesome. Moto2 is going to be awesome. Clear the schedules. And the good thing about this weekend is the schedules are cleared. We have Mugello and Mugello, that's it. I love a standalone big race like this. Yes, Formula One's awesome, but too much sport going on.
Too much sport when you're going on. When you have Mugello, the biggest race of the year,
yeah,
and another F1 race. So clear the schedule. 10 p.m. Sunday night. Be there or be square. Fox Sports 6.
Fox Sports 6. I like it. I think Pedro Acosta's going to have a good weekend.
Yes.
Big, long KTM straight.
Yeah, yeah. They do hold the high-speed record, top speed record at that track. So 363 kilometers per hour. Brad Binder.
Numbers, man.
It's interesting. I think it's just going to be a whitewashed Ducatis again.
Yeah, okay.
Like it was last week.
I don't know. I think that's a hard track for a rookie. Like a Furman, Mugello. Like I think that track takes a lot of experience.
Yeah, but he's got experience in a lower class category, so you think, James?
270 horsepower motorcycle, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, that's just a different kettle of fish. And it's a track with balls, man. Like that straight isn't even a straight, and it's got a kink in it and a little hill, I don't know what you call it.
That front straight, I'm going to say, in that first turn is probably one of the most... It probably is the scariest corner in MotoGP.
Yeah, it's that left. It goes over a rise, yeah. I should say, into San Donato. And you... Curtis, you right
over there? Fart over there, Curtis? Arrabbiata 1, Arrabbiata 2. Yeah. Named after a pasta.
Bicini. But going over that rise to that left-handed kink, and then you got to then turn it into the right at that speed is terrifying. Remember when Michele Pirro had that massive accident? He high-sided, he like locked the rear ends.
Oh, yeah, it was huge, massive. And then obviously Marquez had his massive crash there. What I love, and one of my favorite things, and actually Dammy touched on this many weeks ago, and it actually reminded me of it, is that bird's eye shot of the first corner of like them coming into the first corner and then the different brake lines. And you're like, is he going to pull it up? Is he going to pull it up? And then, you know, some people just pull it up. It's amazing. And then some people, you can just see them running wide. Like, it's like the Bagnaia's of the world, the Marquez's as well. They always seem to turn it in. And then you got the lower class riders that seem to always run wide. So
it must be, I would say, and I wouldn't be surprised if they say that it would be the hardest braking marker to hit.
Yeah.
As in like, it would be hard, as you said, it would be hard to pull that bike up and hit your braking marker every single time because you always see those guys running wide.
Well, you had, I mean, Lorenzo, Petrucci and Marquez back in the day. Remember Petrucci passed both of them into that first corner?
That is crazy. Like to trust someone at that speed, you have to be the best in the world.
Yeah.
Because
no doubt,
just the pressure, like I would fumble under the pressure and then sort of break that little bit later to then pass to all the fastest guys in the world is wild.
And how does Pirro go into that first corner now with sublime confidence after that massive crash? Absolutely. Like, cause you just got to trust you just take all that break.
Yeah.
And you just got to trust it. Just stops.
Doesn't spit you off.
Yeah.
Cause that spat him off and he was flying through the air. Do you reckon for him that he was probably in the air for what, half a second, not even? Do you reckon he had any thought that was going through his head? Like, oh, fuck. You know when something happens?
Yeah, split second.
But, like, it's like time slows
down. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're like, oh my God, this is huge. This is fucked. Yeah.
But it really, it's only a blink. Yeah. But you have those thoughts.
Yeah.
I would love to know if he had any thoughts. Because then he was knocked out straight up. He probably can't remember. He was knocked out straight away anyway. But...
Ooh, that separates the men from the boys.
But then they, like Marquez had the same thing. I think he cut his chin open and even re-injured his eye. But he went out that next practice session or the next day.
They're not like, human, bro. They're not human. They're aliens, these guys. It's just, they're different species.
340 Ks now, whatever it was then. There's no way you could get me back on that bike.
There was a massive sidecar crash in there. I don't know if you saw it during the week. It was all over.
I was going to reshare it. And I was like, nah, I'm not going to reshare it.
And
that.
The body's just... The guy survived from all reports.
Aussie.
And, yeah, they're Aussie, yeah. He's... Well, someone commented saying, oh, that's bloody Jono's dad. He races in the fucking local superbike league or something.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, or the motocross league or something. He goes, oh, that's... They know that. He's like in the clique. So, yeah, I mean, that body's spilled out everywhere.
That was one of the worst crashes I've ever seen. I would say that's top three crash.
We rewatched Mugello from like when the Kawasaki's were on it from years ago. And it was a huge crash into that first corner. It was the Kawasaki of Nakajima or something.
I reckon that was Nakano.
Yeah, Nakano. Yeah, God, it was close. He hit the concrete inside, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it wasn't him and someone. People are going to be listening now.
Yeah, James, come on. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Curdy.
Nah, he's offline, mate.
Gertie.
He's offline.
He can't hear us.
It'll take him, oh, he doesn't have a mic anyway.
It'll take him half an hour to find it. Don't stress me.
Magello crack.
I think he's sleeping. Curtis.
Anime, no, he's gone. He's gone. When he fixates on anime, that's it. He's like a deaf Jack Russell. Can't get him back. Like Theo Von. But that's just the lure of that track. And then obviously the fans bring a massive thing into it as well. Maybe, I don't know. I'm always interested now with the Magello fans if they come out. Because from all reports, back in the day, it was easier to get to. You could, better camping regulations and it was cheaper. Mm. But now I know it's a lot more expensive.
Price. Well, Curtis's parents more regulated. Are there.
Yeah. Curtis's parents are there.
He's hurt. That he's
pipes
heard
up.
That.
Pipes he's up. Fuck's sake.
What's happened there?
That's been a break in the anime.
Curtis. Yeah, he's listening. That's amazing. He's like a decibel blockage, it's called. It's any higher, you can't hear anything. Hello, we're Curtis.
It's like a dog whistle.
Yeah. That's incredible. I don't see anything like it.
But the fans. So I wonder if it's like an expensive thing. I know it's more expensive.
Bro,
now.
It's Rossi. It's Rossi. That's all it is. Okay. Yeah. You can use that excuse.
Why don't they jump on Bagnaia's bandwagon or Bezzecchi's bandwagon?
Have the key, doesn't it? They don't have the Riz like the Rossi did. They don't have the Riz.
Yeah, the Riz.
They had the Riz. The Riz, there's nothing like him. So.
You know what's funny about Valentino Rossi? And obviously, we're all big fans. We love him. But like over the years working in the bike industry, you talk MotoGP, right? And you talk to people without naming names, but like they're like either reps coming in or customers.
Account managers.
Account managers, I like to be called. That's funny. And like, you know, you talk MotoGP and they're like, oh, you know, we did a thing of Valentino. Well, we did a thing of Casey, and they tell you spiel. And like every single, I've had a few, I shouldn't say every single one, but I've had a few reps like, oh, Valentino is gay. Yeah. I've seen it. I've seen it. You know, I've been to parties and he's talking to boys and stuff. I'm just like, why? If he was, why would you be there? And why are you telling me like it's some crazy big news?
Hilarious.
But I've heard it for the past 10 years.
Yeah, there's a lot of gay. There's a lot of gay. a lot of gay rumors about him and stuff. But that's
back
just,
in the day, there definitely was.
Yeah, it's just a weird. I mean, now he's married with a kid. I think. Is she pregnant? Maybe.
Nah, he's got a kid.
Yeah, got a kid. Yeah.
I think back then as well, because he was the first person to like bring his mate. Oh, it was just his mate. Yeah, the poor guy.
It's gonna happen with Quartararo and Tom. His mate. They're gonna.
It's like us, bro.
Yeah, they're gonna call bloody. I don't know what's going on in that motorhome back there, but
it's just bringing his mate. Nothing wrong
playing
with that.
PlayStation together. That's cool.
Nothing wrong with that. But it's just interesting. It's just funny. Like all these different people. I'm just like. Bro, why would you be there? Why would you be there if he's doing that? Doesn't make any
sense.
I'm
sure a lot of people at home have got a lot of stories of people going, oh, I did this, I saw this, I've done that with celebrities. Like, did it really happen? Probably not.
So, definitely not.
Yeah.
But I think it's cool. Like, he was one of the first people to bring like his best mate. And now he's running a MotoGP team, Yuccio.
That's cool.
That's wild how successful that is.
That is so cool.
Yeah. And he's obviously got such a pull in the paddock now. He's been in there for 20, 30 years.
Yeah. I hope he's, man, it'd be so cool if he comes out to Australia or he's in Malaysia.
He's awesome for the sport. You need it. And it's interesting this year, it was the first time we've seen him in the VR46 merch. Yes. He's normally in like Yamaha bullshit ambassador merch. So I don't know what's going on there.
Interesting. I didn't know. But you didn't notice that.
You know what's crazy is he's been Yamaha's ambassador. Yamaha's done nothing with him. Bro, put his livery on bikes. Use him for something. Like, you've got the most marketable person in MotoGP ever.
His history, yeah.
And he was the ambassador, and they've done that. Maybe it's him, I don't know, but like, and what he wants to do.
It might be the contract. It could be, has to be something. Sure.
But like, you think you would try everything. They'd be like, all right, okay, well, let's do some Rossi R3s. R6s, R9s, R7s. You get paid for it.
Yeah.
Bro, you're going to sell a ton of them.
No liveries, but no special lives. So
yeah, but you're going to sell them for the Guidos, man. The Guidos love them.
The Carlton crew you're talking about?
You know, like they're like the American Wogs, the Guidos. You ever heard that? Like Jim Tan Laundry.
Yeah.
Like Jersey Shore.
Yeah, Jersey Shore.
Hey, I'm walking here.
The Gabagool.
The Gabagool. They love it.
They love it. Yeah.
They love it. The big gold chain. You got to sell it to them, bro.
You do. Yeah, but it's going to be awesome. I'm so excited for the weekend.
Just a branch.
When James started talking about special liveries, I had to bring you back. I had to bring you back because you know my thoughts on that, boys and girls. All right, let's move on to world famous Listy's hot takes.
Poor Listy.
Listy's got a
real gripe with one of our mates.
Yes, he does. He's got a good charge of character, Listy.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. He's gonna just buy the coffees a bit more about Listy. Doesn't buy enough coffees.
Adrian's gonna piss himself.
Doesn't buy enough coffees.
Yeah, get him going on the rounds a bit more, you reckon? Yeah. All right, at Jamesy995, Leclerc to Merck. Russell to Red Bull.
Look, there's lots of rumors with Mercedes next year. And I think, you know, Russell putting it in first and having
a
great start to the year, I think he's going to cement his spot. And I don't think they don't need to find someone else. I think he's got enough talent.
Is George Russell world champion caliber?
Yes.
Fucking hell, I didn't expect you to say that so confidently.
I don't think Lando Norris is. I don't think Lando Norris is. If push comes to shove and Lando's with an equal driver in the same team, I don't think he's winning the championship. Not because of the talent, because of the mental capacity. I mean, just shown time after time. So, again, it's easier sitting here and talking about that. But, yeah, time after time, it's just happening again.
I think you look at Kimi Antonelli and he's a step above them. Maybe, obviously, not now, but he will be. He'll easily be a step above them, man, in 5 years' time.
The knowledge that he's going to have.
Compare the pair.
Yeah, same age, same income, same super contribution. Yeah.
Knowledge he's going to have.
Oh, yeah. Crazy.
At our boy, Willie_Nels. Actually, our winner of the $150 gift card. He corrected, guessed right.
So, and that, like, don't shoot us at home, even though he's contender for number one ticket holder.
Yeah, he actually won.
He's won two competitions now. Amazing.
He was the only person to pick Mark, Alex, and Morbidelli third.
Great. And you know what? Great pick. Morbidelli, putting Morbidelli in there. And it couldn't happen to a nicer bloke. We love Willie Nels. So,
one of the nicest.
Yeah. And we're going to do another comp.
I'm actually meeting up with him on Saturday. You win comps, you get to catch up with us.
Ah, beautiful. You know, you're not working on a Saturday. You're not going all the way out there just for that, are you?
Yep.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, talk about a gripe.
Talk about us, the fine worker.
Yeah, he is.
The inline four is all that Quartararo has known. What if he can't gel or get with the V4?
Look,
that's an interesting
point. I need to have a bit of apology from last week as well. So they ran the V4 in testing. I said last week they're not running it. They are running it. T-Shabs is confused about this whole situation.
You've been confused from the start. You've like autistically confused yourself about it.
I'm fixated on this V4.
Too much.
It's cooked me. I thought it was going to be running for this year at the start. No, they're not even running it. Then I was said it's not going to be running for the whole year. They're running it already. So just don't listen to me in regards to a Yamaha V4. Do not listen to what I'm saying. I don't know.
Can someone make a compilation of all your V4 takes? Because it would be the funniest thing I've ever watched.
Dude, I'm like, I wake up on like Tuesday morning. It's like, Fernandez's first reaction to the V4. I'm like, what? They are running it. I'm like, right, Jesus
everything
Christ.
Everything you've said about the V4 wrong. Has been totally wrong.
Wrong. The opposite. I cannot. It's never been like this with anything.
I've noticed that.
I can't believe
I've
noticed, it.
I've never wanted to bring it up on the pod, but no. I wanted to let you ramble on about it. And goodness. It's the fucking funniest.
Just. I'm sorry. Just from my heartfelt apology. I just can't believe it. Everything I read about this fucking engine is wrong.
It's actually causing you nightmares.
I know. Anyway, please carry on.
Bro, or I don't know. Like, it's a great point from our boy, Willie. Quartararo has to run this V4. He's never ridden the V4. It's a completely different engine. But I think Quartararo is talent. He's going to make it work.
Yeah, talent's talent.
I'm not worried about that at all, Willie. But that's a good take. I like that.
Oh, it's a great take. Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting point. And the whole thing with hot takes, what I love is I've never thought of that before.
And you've thought about the V4 a lot. And the one thing he could have put two and two together, he's already got you. Oh, I got tears. I'm laughing that much about that. That's funny.
Oh, far out.
At Samcell 21, Norris will lose his title chance through flopping his qualifying. I don't think that's a hot take at all, but I'm reading it out.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree with that. I think we've touched on that. But yeah, definitely, 100%.
What's that say? Pughy underscore 89. Making F1 cars all the same makes for boring racing. Different engines and tyre wars. Tyre wars I'm iffy about because there's always one manufacturer that just has a better tyre and they'll only win. That's what only happens.
But every F1 car is built completely differently. That's the most amazing thing. They're built completely differently. They're all like...
They just lease different engines if you're like an...
They've got four or five different engines to choose from and they've got 12... They got 10, 12, 11 teams. They all have to design their own car. The only thing that's shared is the tyres.
Like even Red Bull and Toro Rosso can't share.
Exactly. The only thing that they share is a rain light at the back, all right, and the tyres. That's the only thing. Yes, they have to complete this car under rule, very, very stringent rules that they have to build the car by, but they're all building, they're all making the parts themselves. That's what the most amazing thing about Formula One is, that five teams can come with different ideas and they make the car that's exactly the same speed.
Listen to that, ladies and gentlemen. You talk to this man about Formula One engines, tell you everything. Yamaha V4?
No.
Zero.
No. I'm still learning. I'm still in my infant phase.
Oh, it's so funny. At Oliver B underscore Oz, Oscar Piastri is definitely the number one driver at McLaren now.
They're gonna have to make this decision over the next probably four or five races, because if you've got, you know, Verstappen coming in and winning a couple of races.
What's the number one driver give him though?
Just if Lando's in front, if he's second or third and Piastri's behind, they'll just let him through. In a lot
that's
of cases.
I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think they're even going to pick a driver.
They've stuck fat on this the whole way through.
And I like
through.
That.
Yeah, it's kudos to McLaren. They've said, you know, they're going to run into each other eventually. Like, you know, they've come out and said that. So just have to, like, they've still got a commanding lead in the constructors, and that's what the main thing is. But don't feel like they just want to win the constructors. Of course they want to win the drivers' championship. So, but Max still only 40 points behind. It's still very close.
Still very, very close. At Matt Ould underscore OG pod fave. Miss the old rivalries in MotoGP. They're all too nice now. Who do you think could bring that shit back?
Well, not David Alonso. He's like the nicest guy ever.
David Alonso, definitely not. Marquez can normally get under people's skin, but I don't think that there's no other massive ego like a Rossi.
Costa.
Yeah. Costa's, you know, right? I'll take that back. Acosta's probably the
Costa's
one.
Costa's the only one. And I think
great call.
If he gets on a Ducati or something similar to Marquez, them dueling at it
would be awesome. Because he's already has shot some...
That could be something in the next year or two, depending on where Acosta goes, which would be super interesting.
I love that. I think that if there's going to be, any rivalry, it's them. Because Pedro has said, you know, famous, like he said, I've said this before, is Marc Marquez was my favorite. He was the person I looked up to. Then he changed his answer to Valentino Rossi because he wants to get under Marquez's skin. So I would love to see that. I think that's a great rivalry. And that's just two different... Bro, it's like a Rossi and a Marquez. It's two different generations going up against each other.
Yeah.
That's what you want to see. They want to see Pedro Acosta on some shitbox KTM. Bilal. Bajaj. Muhammad Bilal.
Yeah, well, the Indians don't make the best,
Well, you know, stick to land.
Landcraft. Yeah. Sorry, Papa. Shouldn't buddy get him involved.
Talking of Papa, it's called Papa.
Oh my God.
Hot take. Realistically, Max's main rival is going to be Russell more than McLaren by the end of the year.
Well, yeah. I mean, if Mercedes have made a... And we forget about Mercedes a lot when we're talking about it, because we always talk about Red Bull, Ferrari and McLaren, and then Mercedes seemed to be second on the Constructors' Championship, and Russell looks like he's in good form and has been there all year pretty much, there or thereabouts, as I like to say.
Yeah.
James. So, yeah. They're looking good. Interesting. Yeah. I mean, for me, Russell and Verstappen, like, I was so excited for them to go into Turn 1 together. It didn't eventuate anything exciting. But
Russell just had the jump, man.
Yeah.
He's a perfect start.
That could have been talk about Nagasaki, that could have been Hiroshima.
Well, he would have bullied the fuck out of George Russell, because George Russell is a bit of a puss, man. We know that.
One of them going to be on the grass. I don't know which one it would have been, but it would have been in the grass in the middle of that first and second corner.
Yeah.
It would have been fun. But yeah, Max just didn't get the... Max has just been there. He's just been a tiny little bit off this
nip
year.
Nipping the heels. He's just nipping the heels.
Yeah. He's just been a little like... He's just missing something. But he'll...
Newey.
Yes. James Shaw. Correct. Well done.
You like that?
Dude, I did.
If I'm going to go for any team, though, take the drivers out of it, I like Mercedes.
Really?
Yeah.
Mercedes. Nah. Yeah. I don't. Toto Wolff.
I like the German. I like Toto. And yeah. I like German engineering.
Yeah.
Why are you laughing?
It was funny. It was the Porsche was leading Le Mans, and it's like the last time a Porsche has rampaged through, a German has rampaged through France is like 1943. It was a good meme.
The good thing about this podcast is we talk about
world events.
We talk about motorsport. Name a podcast that talks about motorsport, war history, and WWE in one go.
And anime for Curtis.
Varies.
That's all. We have a very niche clientele.
Yeah. Yeah, we do.
We do it our way.
This guy is a contender for number one. What is it? Number one ticket holder. Our boy D Silva 87S, Jason.
Yes.
Where is he from?
He's from South Carolina, the Queen of the South. North Carolina, the Queen of the South. Sorry.
The Queen of the South, the jewel of the South. You fucking nutcase.
Change it up this week for Jason.
I'm actually going to start a bit of a thing here. I'm going to call this a bit of a Rossi Tard alert. Maybe a Tard alert.
Okay.
This one. Until Marc Marquez wins a championship on a bike that isn't a front runner, like VR46 in 04 Rossi, Rossi's still the GOAT.
Oh, wow. Wow. Geez, he came.
I think what separates Marquez, and I think they're both as good as each other, is coming back from that type of horrific injury is something else.
Yeah, 100%. I think Marquez, that whole story of him coming back, as you just said.
And mentally, I think he has to be the strongest motorcycle racer to ever race.
Yeah. It's a hard one. Time will tell. That's going to be a burning question for the next.
He's going to equal Rossi this year and he's going to overtake Rossi next year. That's all he wants to do.
Mm. And then new regs.
Everyone knows
and
that.
And then back to Honda.
And back to Honda.
Yeah, that's a Republic of first. Oh, James Shaw. Okay, claim it. That's fine.
I've put my trademark on that one. I've done a T-Shabs Grassini.
Yeah, well, that was domination.
Matt Stevens, boy, also pod favourite. OG fan. Kubica is the most talented driver to never win an F1 title, T-Shabs.
Great.
Is that a knee-jerk reaction call?
Well, I think Pablo Montoya's up in that same conversation as well. It's those two competed against the best back in the day.
Yeah,
they were against the best in a lot of races. He's very talented. What happened to his arm? He's got half an arm. Like it's crazy what he can still do in a race car. So
that's inspiring in itself.
Yeah,
really.
100%. He came back to F1. Like that was the biggest thing, and he just never had it again, unfortunately. And like. Dude, his arm is just cooked, like really cooked. So I'm surprised. Surprised his career is still going and going the best it's ever gone. So
yeah, good on him.
I mean, that's a. What's bigger, James, winning a Formula One race or winning Le Mans 24 Hour?
If you had to pick one, this is a great way to finish this episode. If you had to pick one winner, I think it still has to be a Formula One race.
Jeez, that's crazy. And there's 24 of them a year. And there's one Le Mans, and F1 still has it over.
That's how big Formula One is, though.
Yeah, I agree. I think you go down in history of being a Formula One race winner than being a Le Mans 24
What hour hurts winner. As well is I associate more the car.
Yeah, because it's three drivers.
There's three drivers.
Yeah,
correct. You don't go Kamui Kobayashi one.
Yeah, because like I know in my head that the McLaren F1 won in 1995. Okay, in Le Mans 24 Hour.
Yeah.
Couldn't tell you who the driver was.
Yeah.
But I could tell you in 1996, Olivier Panis won the Monaco Grand Prix.
Boom.
And that's on that note, let's mic drop.
Mic drop. We'll see you guys next week after Mugello.
Thanks, guys.
Enjoy, everyone.